Yeah.
Okay, we gotta catch up though.
I have to catch up. I'm sorry, I went to Eretz Yisrael and I missed Mor v'Shemesh. Forgive me? Don Yosef, you forgive me, yes? Okay, but we can still catch up. It's never too late. Okay, so Parshas Vayera, the beginning of Vayera, Avram Avinu is sitting. He just got his bris milah. He's Yoshev Pesach Ha'awal Kechom Hayom. So there's a medrash that our Rebbe quotes. A medrash that the Mor v'Shemesh quotes. Okay, he gives one interpretation. And then he gives another interpretation. Okay, so we're going to start on page Mem Tes. O Yomar ala Medrash Hanal. Or you could say, O Yomar, you could say about the Medrash we mentioned above. Now, we don't know the Medrash yet, so don't panic. We're going to find out the Medrash. Sha'amar Avraham, here's the Medrash. Avram said, it's actually a very sad Medrash. Avram says, you know, I used to be so connected to people. Again, Avram was not about his own fame, but Hashem made him very successful, but he loved people. He was an ish chesed. He loved connecting to people. He loved inspiring people. That's who Avram was. So Avram says, I'll just tell you outside and we'll read the Medrash inside. Avram says, Rabbono Shalom, you know, before I had a bris milah, people related to me. But now that I have a bris milah, people aren't as connected to me. It's interesting, no? Hi. Thank you so much. It's a strange thing. Right, a person all of a sudden, I don't know, starts wearing white shirts, and then like people stop talking to him. Like, no, I can't relate to him anymore. That's what happened to Avram Avinu. He felt, and by the way, that's part of the answer. Who asked the question the other day about why Avram, if he kept the whole Torah, he didn't give himself bris milah? Who was sitting over there and asked the question? You asked the question the other day. Who was it? Jonah asked the question. Right? Why did Avram delay his bris milah? So one of the things Avram was afraid of, and part of, again, the Medrash says that Avram, right, where did Hashem appear to Avram at the beginning of Vayera? He's where? He's be'elonei Mamre. Right? Why is he in Elonei Mamre? Why did Hashem appear to Avram in Elonei Mamre? What does Rashi say at the beginning of Vayera? Because Mamre gave him advice about bris milah. So everyone asks, advice about bris milah? Why did Avram ask advice about bris milah? God told him to get a bris milah. So he went around and he started polling the audience. But Tzadikim explained that one of the fears of Avraham about bris milah is, am I going to be relatable anymore? Am I going to be too different? Am I changing myself in a way that people will say, oh, he's different? So look at the lashon of the Medrash. Sh'omer Avraham ad shalom malti hayu ha'over mishavim ba metzli. It used to be that, well, before I had a bris milah, everyone used to come to me. People used to always stop by. Everyone knew that I was a good place to get something to eat, a good conversation. So Tomar Mishamalti Einam Baimetzli. So now that I've become more holy for you, Hashem, but that's made me disconnected from people, how could such a thing be? How could it be? How could it be that my spiritual growth is making me less successful? Right? So Hashem says, Avram, listen. Amelo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ad Shalom Malta, Hayu Arelim Ba'am Etzlecha. You have to understand. No, Avram, now that you have a bris milah, you're with a different chevra. It's a different avoda. Until you had your bris milah, so the people of the world would come to you. Arelim, the uncircumcised, would come to you. Va'achsha, but now, Hashem comforts Avram, but now look who comes to visit you now. It's true, the guests aren't coming as much as they used to. They're not stopping by as often as they used to. But Hashem says, but look, now I appear to you. Vayera, I love Hashem. Hashem appears to Avram. So that's supposed to be a source of comfort for Avraham. Don't feel that you've lost your chevra. Hashem says, you have a new chevra. You know who the new chevra is? Hashem and the angels. Okay, was that not part of Avram's original chevra? Lahavin zos ki lachora yesh ledaktik. So says our Rebbe, we need to understand. Ma heishiv lo Hashem yisbarach shuhu upamalya shalo yavo etzlo. Acharei shahaya cheshkos Avram l'kayim achlas sorchim. So says the Mor v'Shemesh, it's very nice that Hashem is now revealing himself in a new way to Avram Avinu. There's a new level of communication between Hashem and Avram after the bris milah. But that's not what Avram was asking. Avram said, but I used to, right? I was a great success in Hachnasas Orchim. That was what I liked to do. So Hashem says, well, now we'll talk more. Yeah, but I want to do Hachnasas Orchim. How does that answer the question? The Cheshek of Avraham was Cheshkus. The Cheshek means a desire. The drive of Avraham was for Hachnasas Orchim. I can't feed you, Hashem. I can't feed the angels, even though the three men who show up are angels, right, in disguise. But how is this a solution, so to speak? Vahanira. So he says something very interesting. Okay, there's what he says, and there's also what I think we, as a chaver, have to try to take from this piece. Vahanira ki madregos yesh l'tzadikim. There's different types of tzadikim. Again, whenever we see the word tzadik, there's a part of us that tunes out because I'm not a tzadik. But I remind you, va'ameich v'lam tzadikim, we're all tzadikim. Okay, so there's two levels in avodas Hashem. There's two ways of interacting with people. Shemekarvin kol adam. There are people who know how to connect to everyone. That means even afilu rishayim mekarvin osam lefi shal avodas Hashem. Right. When a Lubavitcher finds a guy on a street corner and puts tefillin on him. Yeah. The guy's walking by holding his leftover lunch from McDonald's. And the Lubavitcher sees this guy walk by and says, "Are you Jewish?" He says, "Yeah, I happen to be Jewish." The guy literally is coming from eating McDonald's. He says, "Oh, did you put on tefillin today?" Tefillin, he either says, "What's that?" Or he says, "I haven't done that since my bar mitzvah." And all of a sudden, this Lubavitcher is putting tefillin on this guy. So what's the goal in that? Do we expect that he's going to become frum after that experience? Do we expect that there's going to be some type of spiritual awakening? Or is the attitude, you know what? A mitzvah is a mitzvah. Let him do one right thing for the moment. What happens after? What happened before? I know what happened before. He's walking around literally with he's got his shirayim from his lunch at Mickey D's. No? Anyone here Jewish? Yeah, I'm Jewish. Yeah, you're Jewish. Yeah, what's your name? Dave Schwartz. Okay. Doesn't give a muster about the fact that he's holding the remainder of his Happy Meal. That's not what he says to him. He says, "You want to wear a tefillin?" Sure, why not? So what's he trying to do? This guy doesn't keep Shabbos. He doesn't keep kosher. What are we trying to do with this guy? What we're trying to do is we're saying, even though many of your actions are, unfortunately, I'm not calling this guy Russia. It could be he's a Tinok Shinishba. He's just an ignorant person who never was educated. Right? But the idea is, I don't think I'm going to transform this guy entirely. Again, maybe this will be the beginning of his return to his Yiddishkeit. But I'm willing to be makariv osam lefi shah lavodas Hashem. But let him be a good Jew for a minute, for 5 minutes, for an hour, whatever it is. There are tzaddikim who say, I'm not worried about the fact that this guy is a Rasha. If I can get him to do something good for a couple of minutes, even if he goes back to his ways, it's worth it. And even if he's only makar of him for a moment, or an hour, or whatever it may be, and then he goes back to his old ways. Okay. But for that hour, he wasn't going in his old ways. Right? For that time that he spent in the presence of this tzaddik, of this good person, of this uplifted Jew, he's able to be a little higher, a little holier. Okay. So that's a success. We call that a success. Amnam, but says our Rebbe, ha'ikar ha'krevus asher etzadik mekar ve'lov. But the real essence of what a tzadik is able to do, again, and sometimes people are just not ready to come along for the ride, but what a tzadik is really supposed to do when you meet a tzadik, it's supposed to transform a person entirely. The ikar kravas that a tzaddik is makarve love, heim osam ha-noshim, ha-mis'amtzim atzmam, those people who, mis'amtzim atzmam, who strengthen themselves, who work at it, la'avoras Hashem yisbarach be'emes, le'eilu malamed a tzaddik darach Hashem. In other words, right, there's kirov of a person who's not connected, and then there's taking a person who's somewhat connected and taking him all the way. Right? You have a frum guy, a good guy, but now that he meets the tzaddik and he attaches himself to the tzaddik, he's like, whoa, he feels like it's a whole nother level of growth in avodas Hashem. And those people become, you know, real chassidim of the tzaddik, v'heim anche atzaso, right? They become his people. Amnam lo yuchal akariv kol adam. But the reality is you can't get everyone. Not everyone who you speak to you're going to be able to transform. And maybe that's not the only goal, is what the Rebbe's saying. What Mishamish is saying. Again, on a certain level, the ultimate goal is to help someone to be transformed entirely. Right? But you're not going to be able to be makari of everyone. And God forbid to hate a person who's in that first group. Nah, don't waste your time trying to makari this guy. He's not going to be from. And therefore what? Therefore you shouldn't learn Torah for the next 5 minutes? Therefore you shouldn't keep this one Shabbos on the NCSY Shabbaton, even if this person is not going to be that NCSY, you know, high school, public school student who became fully religious, fully observant? God forbid to say it's not worth it because they're not going to go all the way. Haynu she'enim holchim b'derech ha'emes. God forbid to say such a thing. They're not really committed all the way, so why should I bother? K'maymer ha'tayna v'oev ha'briyos m'karvan the Torah. Love a person and bring him closer. Period. Af she'yuchal l'kariv osam rak l'fi shah. And even if you're only able to be m'kariv him for just a short period of time, what does it say in Pirkei Avos? Yafa shah achas v'chulu. Right? Great. Beautiful. Yafeh. How beautiful. Yafa shah achas. How beautiful is 1 hour. What's the end of that mission in Pirkei Avos? Anyone know? How beautiful is 1 hour of tshuva and ma'asim tovim before HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world is more valuable than all of Olam Haba. 1 hour of success in this world on a certain level is greater than the entire Olam Haba. Right? Because that means you want a battle in this world. You want a small battle. Like Rav Huttner's famous letter, Rav Yitzchak Huttner has a famous letter, right, where he describes the difference between what? Between winning a battle and winning the war. Winning a battle is also chashuv, even if you lose the war. Sometimes you lose the war, but you want a battle. Okay, that's also something. Right? You should celebrate that success. So if you were able to makariv someone for a short period of time, that's gavaldik. Amnam lo kol kach shu'anche atzaso, and yet this group we would say is not, again, they're not tzaddik's inner court, so to speak. Machmas she'en a tzaddik yuchol lisbol oivius v'chumrius b'nei adam ke'elam. But they can't really become a person who's going to be dabbling in and dabbling out, can't really become part of the tzaddik's inner world. Because look at the words, the tzaddik can't handle ovius v'chumrius b'nei adam ke'elam. He can't handle the physicality of such people. Again, the tzaddik is a tzaddik. So for a period of time, he can handle that, but that can't be his whole life. He has to surround himself by people who want to live like the tzaddik or prepared to be lifted up. The tzaddik's not able to handle oivius means literally the thickness, right? The materialism of them, the gross physicality of people who are not really in it all the way. Okay, you had your hand up first. Let's see.
Yeah, just clarification. Are we saying that the person who is trying to be makar somebody for a minute shouldn't be put down? Or we're saying that the person who...
The person who's being makar shouldn't think it's not worth my time to get this guy for 1 minute. It is worth it to get this guy for 1 minute. It is worth it. Yafa shah achas. B'tshuvah ma'isim tovim. Right? How beautiful is even a moment of being close to Hashem. Yeah.
So, what I've learned about Rashbi is kind of the opposite of Inch, how he was taught that you should be throwing yourself into mundane and seeing how everything there is something that could be made kadosh. And he's reprimanded for thinking.
Yeah, he's reprimanded from distancing himself from the world. Right? Again, the world of Rashbi is a confusing world, because on the one hand, it's mamish, a secret club. It's people who really are the base medrash of Rashbi. Right? The people who have the real ability to study the Sodos HaTorah, Pnimius HaTorah, the Zohar, the Chabura of Rashbi, right? Which was mamish a Chabura, a very exclusive group. On the other hand, ironically, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai is Rav Shimon Lakol, in the language of the Beis Aaron, of Aaron of Kerlin. Right? Rashbi is for everyone, and that's why in Lag BaOmer, right, all types of Jews are drawn to Rashbi. The same thing is true this Shabbos. Shabbos Chevron. Right? On the one hand, the Avos and the Imos, we could say that, you know, a child's supposed to look like a parent, or a child does look like a parent. Right? Physically, a child resembles a parent. Spiritually and emotionally. Right? The hope of a parent is that a child will go in their ways. Not less, hopefully more. More dedicated, not less. Right? And yet, you find that in terms of the connection to the Avos and the Imos, on the one hand, you know, there are people who are really in line with the Avos and the Imos, and then there's people, but I'm also a child of, right? I'm also a child of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, even if I don't practice anything. Right? So you see something about great people, that they have these opposite qualities. On the one hand, they're so removed from the world because they're just on such a different level. And at the same time, they're so much able to be so well, to put up with the, right? Because they have that lofty view, they're able to see, even within the veros, even within the shortcomings, even within the physicality, they can see the kedusha within. So it's an interesting, you know, paradox of tzaddikim, right? And he's telling us there's sort of both qualities to the tzaddik. So let's see how it plays out with Avraham Avinu now. Yeah. That he what? That he
shouldn't be so much entangled and
it's not that he shouldn't, it's that on a certain level he can't bear it. Right? We've lost our sensitivity to so many things. Right? We, I'm talking about we. We in this room. There's so many things in our world, in our life, that don't even register by us as being something to think about, as positive or negative. We're very numb. We're very numb to a lot of things. Right? But the tzaddik, when he sees certain things, right, when he sees an avera, it makes him sick. We see an avera do an avera, we say the guy's not religious. We don't see chil Shabbos and think, oh my gosh, that's chi of misa, that's kares, you're destroying the world. We don't see that. We see a person machal Shabbos, we say, you know, we don't see it as a fire raging. Right? We don't see the, you know, that's a lack of our own Yirat Shamayim. Tzaddik can't be so well on a certain level. Certain types of tzaddikim, at least, can't handle a certain physicality. They can't bear to look at it. It makes them sick. You and I, like, we can whatever. It's, you know, it's not great that this person does this, but all right. It doesn't make me sick. It doesn't make me nauseous. The tzaddik looks at it and he can't bear it. There's a level of tzaddikim, again, being mekarev people who are already from, which he can handle. Right? And then there's this ability also, again, of a certain type of tzaddik who's able to what? Who's able to mekarev even the Rishayim. And even though he may not be able to transform them into tzaddikim, but that's his avoda. So let's see what happened with Avraham Avinu. Let's see if we can make sense of it. So now, what Avraham says, Avraham went through some type of transition when he got his bris milah. And we need both types of tzaddikim. In other words, Avraham spent a really long time just trying to what? To be makarev people from Avodah Zarah to belief in God in the most simple way. Now, did they all last? In fact, we know they didn't all last. All right, there's that very sad Maimar Chazal that Rashi quotes that after Avraham passed away, so many of them went back to their old Avodah Zarah ways. Right? That wasn't where the world change was going to come. Avraham was not going to change the world in a long-lasting way. Why Yitzchak wasn't able to continue the avoda of Avraham in that way is an interesting question to consider. I'll tell you one answer that I saw once in the Sefer Eretz Tzvi, in the Kadosh Lover Gon of Aryeh Tzvi Fromer. He said that Yitzchak's midah, and we're going to talk more about that in the next piece in Chayesara, what was Yitzchak's midah? Din, Gvura. Avraham was chesed. And it's very hard to be makarev people with midas adin. It's hard to be makarev. He says very straight. Yitzchak was too intense. Avraham made you want to be from. Yitzchak was very intense. It was overwhelming. A lot of people like pulled away from it. Like, this is too heavy. Yitzchak's too serious for me. And again, so what does that mean? You know? That means, well, that we should sell Yiddishkeit just with, you know, joy and happiness and keep it light? I mean, it is heavy. It is serious. It is a huge responsibility. I have to think about that. But Yitzchak wasn't able to be makariv the way Avram, as a nefesh asher asu b'charan, the souls that Avram made, Avram was makariv people with his loving ways. Yitzchak couldn't maintain that, whatever that means. It's a delicate point to say. Okay? So let's see. V'zeh yesh l'chavin b'maimra medrish, sh'amar Avraham, so this is what Avram was saying, ad shalom alti, before I had a bris milah, hayua ovim v'shavim b'ayim etzli. It used to be, everyone used to come by, Ratzalomer Shayisi Makariv Afharelim. Avram says originally had the ability to what? To be Makariv, even those uncircumcised people. They felt connected to me. They felt that I could handle them. And Avram says I could. Ki Ayisi Yachal Oz Lisbolo Sam Lakariv and Lavodasu Yisbarach Shemo. Avram says, because I myself was an RL, I was uncircumcised, I hadn't yet entered that kind of exclusive relationship with Hashem. So I was able to be makariv everyone. But now, Tomar Mishamalti Einam Ba'am Etzli Machmas Godel HaBehirus. But now Avram says, I'm so halig, I have such a behirus, I have such a shine, I have such a elevated status. Kasher Amarnu B'drush HaKodem Lezeh Lo'ucho Lispolo Sam Acher Shamalti. So Avram says, I have to tell you, I've regained a certain clarity. I have certain sensitivities. And Avram says, and I can't do certain things that I used to do. Which is not a bad thing. We're all like, oh, chaval for Avram. It's not a bad thing. Right? The fact that Avram says, I used to be more comfortable hanging out. Right? Again, on a certain level, and it goes back to what David was asking, there's a part of us that says, but the highest tzaddik should be able to be sovel anything. Maybe, you're right. Maybe that's part of the paradox of a tzaddik like a Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Again, I'm not measuring Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai versus Avraham Avinu. I'm just saying, maybe, right, maybe a tzaddik who's able to put up with anything and everything. Right? But the bottom line is the biggest tzaddik, they don't go to certain places. They can't go there. Even if they could handle it, they can't handle it. You understand what I mean? Rabbi Shimon Meyer Morgenstern is not going to go to, you know, some club in Tel Aviv to do Kirov. Why? He can't handle it. He's such a tzaddik. He's going to be dragged down. Are there Jews there? There are Jews there. So why doesn't he go there? He can't be sovel such a thing. What do you mean he can't be sovel? It means his madrega is such that he can't go there. Okay, some young guy who's in Kirov, maybe he can go there and talk to Jews in the, you know. He can be the disco rabbi, right, at that stage. That was okay. He can do that. Right? But Avram's confused now a little bit, like, so what's my avodah? Avram says, I'm not a kid anymore. And he wasn't a kid beforehand either, he's quite an old man. Right? But he's saying, my spiritual madrega is such that I'm just not comfortable with things that used to not be such a big deal, that I was more comfortable with. I'm not comfortable with that anymore. Lo ucha lispo lo sam acher shamalti, ve'esmi akariv la'avodascha. So Avram says, now that I have a bris mila, and I have this loftier level of tzidkus, right? Mila makes a person into a tzaddik. Yosef HaTzaddik became a tzaddik because he went even above and beyond with his bris mila by being careful with Eishes Potiphar. But mila sets a person apart. That's what it is. Right? Not just that we physically, our body physically looks different, right? But we're in a different club now. So Avram says, I feel a little confused now. What's the avoda? This, by the way, this is a very practical question, I think, for us also. Right? As you grow spiritually, it's a different avoda. You have to think about that in life. What my avoda was as a Rebbe when I was 25 years old, and now that I'm 40 years old, it's a different avoda. Ah, the people I'm teaching might still be the same age, but I have to evolve. That's part of my own personal growth. So how does that play out in terms of, you know, everyone has to think about that, right? As you spiritually grow, okay, so I'm Shana Aleph, now I'm Shana Bet, now I'm getting married. Different stages call for a different avoda. So Avraham Avinu now has this more refined, more elevated perspective, and he's confused. So what's my avoda? I thought I was doing really good for you, God. I was being the car of a lot of people. I thought I was making a difference in the world. But now I've kind of graduated from that. So what is the avoda now? Right? What am I supposed to be working on? I can't be the karev in the clubs anymore. I can't do that anymore. What's my avoda? So Hashem says back to him, V'heishav lo Hashem yisbarach, achshav ani upamalya shali. Now Hashem says, I and my heavenly assembly will come to you. What does that mean? Ratzalomar. Sheyetu mimcha zera kodesh Yitzchak v'Yaakov uvanav shneim asar shivteka. It's true, Avram, you were originally, you started off as being this, you know, kirov expert, being makar of the whole world, and you were able to take the world to a certain place because that, and that was very good. But now we have to start making what? We can't just, it can't just be about giving people that 5-minute spiritual high. Getting someone to stop off at your inn and helping them to make a bracha. That's very holy. It's very halig. But Hashem says, but I want full Jews. I want real Jews. I want people who are in it all the way. Again, not God forbid. We're not giving up on the Rishab. We're still going to, someone else will take over and do that job. But now I need you to start building a Klal Yisrael. Right? That's what I need now. Now I need a Yitzchak. Now I need a Yaakov. Now I need Shvatim. Now I need real Hasidim. Right? Not the modern Orthodox kid who comes to the Tish for an hour, you know? On a high school Shabbaton or whatever. That's also Geschmack. He's uplifted by that, right? But most of them don't become real Hasidim of that Rebbe. Right? Shana Aleph, we went to Bnei Brak for Shabbos, and, you know, we went to Yerushalayim, and you were, but told us Aaron Tish, and it was very Geschmack. You felt very uplifted in that moment. Maybe you discovered a part of yourself. Maybe you were close to Hashem in a certain way. Right? But most of us came back down from that. That didn't last. That's very important. But it's also important to develop oneself in such a way that I'm making lasting changes and I'm becoming a wholesome Jew all the way. So Hashem says to Avram, now they have a bris milah, now you're defining Klal Yisrael, now there's a Yitzchak and a Yaakov and Shvatim, right? Al yedei zechus hamilah, v'osam tikarev, and you have to make karev them also. You have to make Yitzchak, not just another guy who you inspire for a couple of minutes, you have to make him into Yitzchak Avinu. You have to make him into Yaakov Avinu. We need Shvatim. V'heim yamshichu ha-shchina b'tachtonim. And they're the ones who are going to make it, like Hashem says, now I and my heavenly, you know, assemblage of the angels will come to visit you. What do you mean? It means you gotta start building up a space for Hashem in this world. That doesn't happen. It happens in some small measure. Again, I'm not making light of it. It happens in some small measure when you put tefillin on a guy on the street corner. It happens for a moment. But Hashem says, but now I want to build a klal yisrael. I want to have a place. Behind aniu pamalia navo etzelcha lashros shchinasi benechem al yedei yotzei chalatzecha zera kodesh. Right? Now I want to build a family. I want to build a klal yisrael. I want the shchina to feel at home all the time. Val yodim yeh kiyum haolam v'kal haven. And that's really gonna change the world. In other words, there's something very geschmack about special spiritual experiences. There's something special about giving someone a taste. Right? But there's also something about developing ourselves. And again, maybe this is an important message for us to think about. Taking the time to develop ourselves more wholesomely. Again, I'm not saying one way. I would talk to anyone here for a long time if you had this question practically. Right? Rebbe, should I go on this NCSY Shabbaton, where I can hopefully be Makar of someone, or should I do something which I think is more for my own spiritual development? That's always a hard question, right? Should I give to others, or should I learn Night Seder for myself? Right? And at different stages call for different things. There's a time to be mashpia upon others. There's a time to build yourself, and to surround yourself by people who are fully in it. And Avram's learning that transition. And we're also, you know, we're all trying to figure that out. There's a very healthy message in this piece. Avram was a little confused. As he grew, he said, what's the avoda now? I used to be very relatable, but now I'm scared. If I get too from, I'm not going to be relatable. So Hashem says, no, you'll be relatable to Klal Yisrael. Maybe that is your avoda at this point. It's not about teaching the world about monotheism. You did that for a long time, and that was very halig. That was very holy. But now we have to fine-tune it and make, you know, wholesome Jews through and through. Not, God forbid, to abandon or to give up or to not see value in being makar of someone for a moment. But now we're going to start building a place where the Shechina and the angels on high can feel at home. That's the vibe. Yeah. It's Probably a little of both. You know, how much of it is reality and how much of it is in his own head? Right. 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 That people know about Avram's bris milah. I mean, it wasn't just he circumcised himself, he circumcised his family. Was that publicly known? Right. Or how much of it was in his own head that he felt different? He felt that he had changed and felt unrelatable on a certain level. Yeah, there's a lot of deep Torah psychology at play here. But again, that's a good shot question. Did people know that Avraham, you know, circumcised himself and his family and the members of his world? Etzem Hayom Azeh, the Pasuk says. Etzem Hayom Azeh usually means some type of, you know, he wasn't hiding it from the world. But I don't know. Did they know? Did they really know? Did the average person who stopped by Avram's tent, again, the average traveler who found Avram's tent and saw this really nice guy who put out a nice spread, he was turned off because Avram had a bris milah. He didn't know Avram had a bris milah. Right? So was it more in Avram's own head that he felt he had changed? He did change. Again, a bris milah changes a person. He's a different human being. So is it that he's truly not relatable? In his head, he feels not relatable. He senses, I don't connect as much as I used to. I feel like there's a different avoda for me now. That sounds to be sort of what he's saying. And Hashem says, yeah, your avoda is different now. Right? You did a lot of work on the outside, being makar of the world. Now it's time to build, you know, yoytze chalatzecha, to build your own family. Yeah.
Like, why would it even matter if you got a bris milah? It's not like garbage.
He feels different, my body. It's more than just changing your garment, right? It's a permanent change. I'm marking my body as different. That's what the Sefer Chinuch writes in Mitzvah Beis, by the Mitzvah Milah. A bris milah is a way that we mark ourselves as being different. Not just spiritually different, different worldview. Hashem wants us to look at ourselves and say, even the body of a Jew is different. Right? Look at the Sefer Chinuch in the second Mitzvah, the 613. The body of a Jew is different. Right? Because that's hard to see. So what do you mean? I have two eyes, my non-Jewish neighbor has two eyes. I have two legs, Baruch Hashem, my non-Jewish neighbor has two legs. Oh, the neshama is different. No, the bris milah says, no, you're different. Everything about you is different. The Jews is different in every way. Yeah.
What changed when Abraham, when Abraham, when after his bris milah, he did a blessed oration for three angels?
Right, so that's sort of the punchline. I mean, he could only kind of handle angels visiting him now. Right, he was no longer able to handle regular people coming to him. Right, even though they looked like regular people, but in Pnimius, on a certain level, he talks about it in the other piece. His level of dveikus was such that he couldn't really be visited by regular people the same way. Again, that's Jordan's question: was it coming from within him, or was it, you know, people were looking at him different? Or he was looking at them different, right? Or he was just on a higher level now, so he just couldn't relate to that avoda anymore. Right? It was time for a job change. It was time for a spiritual job change for Avraham Avinu. That's a healthy thing. That's what I'm trying to point out. That's a healthy thing for a person, right? To consider, you know, what's my avoda? Maybe at one stage, in my 20s was one thing. Maybe when I'm 70, it'll be a different thing. Right? A person has to think about that. Not that sometimes you just get into a routine. But it blocks spiritual growth. It's very nuanced, but I think that's a real thing. Yeah.
Two things. One, I think this relates very similarly to, like, once you open the door, it closes others. And,
right.
Like, you have options in front of you, and, like, at a certain point, you have to make a decision. And although they're going to be...
Can't do it all.
...that you miss out on, like, you're...
Achon.
Right,
right. But he was scared. He was scared to transition to that new, that new avoda. He wasn't sure. Like, I feel like I'm losing. Not losing. It's different. You had one area of work, and now you're working in a different area. That's a very healthy thing.
And I think this also works. I haven't like fully fleshed this out, but I think it works very similarly with Moshe Rabbeinu, how he goes up on Har Sinai for like 40 days. First, kind of like
right.
Go to those higher dreams to kind of get his own thing, and then afterwards he'll come down.
But he's different when he comes down. Yeah. The people were more connected to Aaron than to Moshe. Moshe's a very lofty idea. Moshe wears a mask. Moshe's very. When Aaron dies, the people seem to be much more broken than when Moshe dies. It's a different avoda. They have different avodas. Moshe was what they call the, you know, the right hand man of Hashem, and Aaron was the right hand man of Knesset Yisrael, of the people. It's a different avoda. But that's again, you see Avram struggling with that transition. I think that's very, I like that. That's very real. All right, like, what is Hashem? What's my avoda now? What is Hashem? What does Hashem want from me right now? Okay, let's turn to page Samach Aleph.
Samach Aleph.
The piece of Ata. Okay, we'll do a piece on Chai Yisar now. This is a very nice piece. Different style piece. Okay, Eliezer shows up in this week's Parsha at the home of Besuel. And he's looking for a wife for Yitzchak. And Yitzchak needs a Rivka. And Baruch Hashem, they found the Rivka. They found the Heilige Rivka. Okay? So Eliezer says in Perek of Dalid, Pasuk Memtes, as he's retelling the story about how he showed up at the well and how Rivka offered him to drink. He's telling this whole story, right? When they sit down to eat, he retells the whole story. So the pasuk says, "Va'ata im yeshchem oisim chesed ve'emes es adoni, hagiduli." So he says, so now, you know, now here comes the ask, right? So after this whole long story and the amazing hashkacha pratis, how I found Rivka at the well. So if you're willing to perform chesed, right, ve'emes es adoni, if you're willing to perform true kindness with my master, hagiduli. So then say so. Ve'imlo, hagiduli. And if not, tell me to get lost. Ve'efna al yamin, al smol. And I'll go to the right, I'll go to the left, I'll go find someone else. Okay? So this is Eliezer basically asking, can we seal the deal with this shidduch? Okay. So take a look at this piece. Very interesting. Very beautiful piece of chassidus. So says the Rebbe, v'yesh ledaktik omro chesed ve'emes. Why does he say, if you're willing to perform this chesed ve'emes? The translation here in my chayenu, chesed ve'emes is true kindness, right? Chesed ve'emes, true, but it's not, it's really chesed and emes. Truth and kindness. Kindness and truth. What does that mean? What does it mean, chesed ve'emes? Ki Rashi in Parshas Vayechi, when Yaakov amar li Yosef, asisa imadi chesed ve'emes. What does it mean over there? When Yaakov is on his deathbed and he says to Yosef, do with me chesed and emes. What does it mean over there? Shechesed she'osim amameisim hu chesed shel emes. What was Yaakov asking of Yosef? Don't bury me in Egypt. So that chesed was a chesed shel emes, which is a chesed performed with a person who's dead. When you bury someone in accordance with their will, that's called a chesed shel emes. You know why? Because they can't repay you. They can't repay you for the kindness. It's not, I'll take care of you today, you take care of me tomorrow. So there, chesed ve'emes means a chesed shel emes. Right? But what does it mean over here? Lefiza ain't inyan chesed ve'emes lakan. But what is this? Why is Eliezer specifically use this lashon? Do a chesed. If you're into chesed and emes, then let's seal the deal. Let's finalize the shidduch. If not, tell me and I'll go somewhere else. But what's this inyan of chesed ve'emes? That's question one. Gam. Furthermore, Mashi hiftzer aleim lahagi lo dafki im rotim lasos a chesed ve'emes im adonav. And that which Eliezer says, are you willing to do this chesed and emes with my master? Have le lameimar im tirtzu laholich iti es Rivka olav. He should have said, are you willing to do this chesed and emes, right? And send Rivka with me. I'm the guy, lemaisa, you have to trust. I'm here, Eliezer's here. Why does he emphasize that if you do this, you should realize you're really doing a chesed and an emes to Avram Avinu, to my master? In pshat, we understand why he's saying that. He's working for Avram Avinu. He's a very loyal eved of Avram Avinu. But why emphasize that? Why emphasize that the chesed ve'emes is really about Avram? Is it about Avram? Isn't it about Yitzchak? Who's it about? So look what he says. V'levar ha'davar nakdim levar. Mipnei malo ratzu Avram likach lebno isha mibno saknani asher hu yoshev ba'artzam. Let's ask a very fundamental question. Why was Avram so against Yitzchak marrying a local Canaanite girl? Why can't we find what? We can't find a single Kanani girl? We mentioned yesterday the Kanani were known to have what? To have a certain temperament, a certain bad midos. Right? Maybe they didn't have the character traits and the moral purity, right, that we would want for a Yitzhak. But says the more of a shemesh. They couldn't find one girl. They couldn't be mavar, a single girl who was a basula. There wasn't one virgin girl in the whole land who had decent midos. Mamish, they couldn't find one basula kshera with midos that are yashar. They couldn't find such a person. The people of Ches were a little bit more, you know, upstanding in the community. It says in the Medrash. So why was Avram so against them? Couldn't find one girl? You had to go send all the way back to Avodah Zarahville to find a girl with nice midos, who hopefully was a Isha Basula. Strange. So let's answer it based on a very interesting and unusual Zohar. Yeah.
I just was going to try to strengthen that point even further, like that you have the whole episode of the Avram going back and forth to Shem, that the people also know.
That what? Say that again?
Avram and Shem going back and forth about the people of Sodoma. Avram trying to convince him to find at least.
Right.
And then he's just trying to even 10 people. So
right.
Just to find one girl on his own. So
yeah, fine. Right. Nachon. So listen to the Zohar. This is a very interesting Zohar. The Zohar says on the Pasuk that when Avram's sitting at the entrance of his tent, Vayar v'hinei shlosha anashim nitzavim alav, when Avram looks up and he sees three people, alright, he's sitting there, kachom hayom, he's waiting for guests, he's asking Hashem, please send me guests for achnasas orachim, and what does he look up? He looks up and he sees three men standing before him. Says the Zohar, you know who the three men are? Elaine Avosa Avram Yitzchak Yaakov. The three men that Avram sees before him are Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov. That's pretty trippy, no? I mean, that's what happens. You got your bris mila. You've been seeing the sun, on the third day of your bris mila. You're like starting to see stuff, you know. Says the Zohar, Chas v'Shalom. Avram looks up, and what does he see standing before him? He sees Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov. What? The Zohar. Not a small thing. So the Zohar says, Elaine Avosa, he saw the Avos, Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov. What does that mean? Ratzalomer. So Chavon, listen carefully. It's beautiful. Shirosh Asidin, let's say, Simenu Yitzchak Yaakov. It was in that moment that Avram again is starting, and it fits so beautifully with the piece we just learned in Parshas Vayera, that Avram looks up and he starts to see, I'm no longer just going to be some guy who runs around and tries to teach people a shtickle monotheism. I'm going to build a Klal Yisrael. There's going to be a Yitzchak, there's going to be a Yaakov. V'hine yadua she Yitzchak merames l'midas gvura. V'yaakov l'midas ha'emes. And each of the avos was unique in his own way. Avram is chesed, Yitzchak is gvura, Yaakov is emes. V'zem merumas v'pasuk. And now we understand what Hashem says to Avram. You know what I like about you, Avram? What does Hashem say to Avram? Bereishis perak yurches. I see how you direct your family in a good way. And how do you direct them? La'asos mishpat u'tzedakah. You teach your children about mishpat and you teach them about tzedakah. What does that mean? Ki adua, as is known to us, mishpat, justice, judgment, that's midas adin, that's Yitzchak, that's gvura. Shamishpat hu gvura. Tzedakah, tzedek, means truthfulness. That's emes. Ah, so Hashem says, you know what I like about you, Avram? I see that you know how to, you're going to mold a mishpat and you're going to mold a tzedakah. You're going to have a Yitzchak and you're going to have a Yaakov. I see that you have all these traits within you. You're going to be able to bring a mishpat, the gvura of Yitzchak to the world. You're going to be able to bring out the tzedakah, the emes of Yaakov, midas asho Yaakov, shemimena yibana midas emes, that from Yaakov, MS will proliferate in the world. V'zeu titein MS li Yaakov, chesed la'Avraham. Isn't that nice? That the MS of Yaakov is already contained within the chesed of Avraham. Sha'ish ha'holech b'derech MS, mechuna l'shem Yaakov. When a person goes in a path of MS, so then he's called by the name of Yaakov. I'll tell you something interesting. It's interesting that Yaakov, who's the third of the Avos, his midah is emes. Let's think about this for a second. Right? Three usually means what? What is the concept of three? Stability, right? Like a tripod. If you have something on two legs, a tripod stands. Right? Chazaka, an Indian of chazaka. Right? There's an Indian of stability when you have three. There's an element of chazaka. Right? Or what it says in Koheles, a three-ply cord will not be easily severed. A chut hamashulash, right? It implies a certain stability, a certain strength. A certain strength. So it's interesting that when we get to Yaakov, so now like Klal Yisrael, it's official, right? When you just had an Avraham, again, we're learning about how Avraham's transitioning, trying to find his place. When you have a Yitzchak, okay, it's a different thing, it's, you know, version 2.0 is emerging. But once you have a Yaakov, oh, now the Torah is, now Klal Yisrael is Emes. Emes means, truth means non-negotiable, forever. And that's why we're called Bnei Yisrael, we're called Bnei Yaakov. We're not called Bnei Avraham or Yitzchak. There's a lack of stability. Yaakov is the blend of Avram and Yitzchak. It's level three. It's stability. It's something that's lasting. The Gemara says in Maseches Shabbos on Daf Kuf Dalet that as opposed to Sheker, which eventually falls apart, Sheker ein lo raglayim, Sheker has no feet to stand upon, Emes stands. So first of all, what the Gemara is telling us, that the very letters, Shin, Kuf, and Resh, look like they're about to fall over. Right? A Shin is standing on a wobbly point. It's very top-heavy. A Kuf, right, also looks like the whole thing is going to flop over. A Resh, also, very top-heavy. It's going to fall on its face. As opposed to MS has stability. MS has legs. The Aleph has two legs. The Mem has a nice base. The tough has a nice little, again, 2 feet, has nice stability to it. So the Gemara says, as opposed to Sheker She'in La Raglayim, the Gemara says about Emes, Kushta, which is Aramaic for truth, Koi. Truth stands. Okay. So I brought in the Sefer today, called Bnei Shleshim. This is one of the greatest Sfarim. I don't know how else to describe it. It's a really amazing sefer. It's got a lot of Hanukkah Torah, which I hope we'll get to. So this is sort of our first taste of Hanukkah, even though it's not about Hanukkah at all. But he quotes this Gemara here. Kushta Koi, truth stands. What did we just learn about Yaakov? Titein Emes, the Yaakov. Who else is Emes? Who else in the Torah, if I said, tell me one other person who's Moshe Emes, with Torah so Emes, right? Okay? Moshe and Yaakov, according to the Zohar, are actually sort of two sides of the same coin. Right? What Moshe and Yaakov, how they relate to each other, Yaakov is sort of the external aspect of Emes, and Moshe is mamish, the pnimius of Emes. So there's a strong relationship between Moshe and Yaakov. So says the Bnei Shleshim, listen to this Remes. He says, what's the gematria of Kushta Kai? But the Gemara says, Shabbos Daf Kuf Dalet, Kushta Koi, truth stands.
This is a little rough. So you
The gematria of Kushta Kai is 527. What's the gematria of Yaakov? Shaptavim, help me out. What's the gematria of Yaakov? Put on the board. Yaakov? How much is Yaakov?
Kushta Kai is
527. Kushta means truth. Kushta means truth. Okay? Kushta Kai, truth stands. 182. Yaakov's 182. How much is Moshe? Moshe MS is Sarasa MS? 345. So what's Yaakov plus Moshe? 527. So Yaakov and Moshe, they're both personalities of MS, right? By the way, what does it say about Yaakov? Yaakov Avinu lo mes. Right? The Gemara says Yaakov Avinu never died. What do you mean never died? Right? But there's an Indian of MS is forever. Mace is MS without the Aleph. Right? So he's forever. Yaakov's forever. Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu is also forever. The Zohar says that the Hashva of Moshe is found in every generation. It's Pashtus of the Moshe, Bechol Dara V'Dara. Moshe is in every generation. But then the B'nai Shlishim adds one little point. He says, Kushta Kai, truth stands, but he says, you know what the word Kai represents? Kuf Aleph Yud. You know what Kuf Aleph Yud stands for? It shows, again, a three-ply cord is not easily severed. Chavar, what's our ultimate three-ply cord? What does the Zohar say? It's a Yaakov, but the Zohar says something else. It's a Zohar and Acher Emos. It says the Torah, Hashem, the Torah, and the Jewish people are one. You've heard this before? Kuchabricho, Oraisa, and Yisrael, Chadhu. No, so tell me, what does Kai stand for? The Kuf is Kuchabricho. The Aleph is Oraisa, the Torah, and the Yod is Yisrael. Kushta Kai. It's an unbreakable bond. The Jewish people, the Torah, and the Jewish God are unbreakable. It's MS. It's forever. It can't be broken. So Avram Avinu, as he's transitioning, Gevaldik. Avram Avinu, as he's becoming what? He's transitioning to this new avoda. He's a tzaddik now. He has bris milah. Tamim tia meshem lokecha. It's like a whole new world. So Avram looks up, and what is he seeing? He sees Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov standing in front of him. Titein emes li Yaakov. Chesed la Avram. The emes of Yaakov is mamshich ha-chesed la Avram. So let's finish the piece quickly. Nimtzo le-meidin mikol zo. So says the Mor v'shemesh. Oh, so what do we learn from all of this? Shenizgal zos la Avram. All of this was revealed to Avram. He caught a glimpse of Jewish future. Shemimenu yetze zera kodesh Yaakov. Shumer kava l'midas emes. Avram Avinu saw it through to the end. What do you mean to the end? It's just three generations. But like we said, three generations means now it's established. But more than that, we're all called Yaakov. We're all called Bnei Yaakov. So when he saw, once you see Yaakov, it's as if Avram Avinu saw us also. He saw all the way through. He saw, oh, this is going to last. Right? He saw Yaakov, who's that Merkava, who's that chariot of the Midah of Emes. Vayitzarech ata be'ez sheba lizaveg es Yitzchak. So he says, we need to find a way to help Yitzchak to find a wife who's going to what? Who's going to create this midah of emes. Let me explain it like this for a second. Hashem did a really good job balancing out the avos and the emos. A spouse is not supposed to be exactly the same as you. On the one end, that seems like that's exactly how it should be, but it's not how it's supposed to be, and it's never how it is. It's an Ezer Kenegdo. Ezer Kenegdo means what? We help each other, but Kenegdo, we also challenge each other. Right? That's part of the beauty of a real relationship. Right? We push each other. We bring out the best in each other. What's Avram's Midah? Avram's Midah is Chesed. What's Sarah's Midah? Sarah's Gvura Dif. Where do we see that Sarah has a little bit of a... If Avram's very quick to give everything away, right? First of all, she's Heineba Olel. She's hiding in the tent. She's a little more reserved in that way. Right? No one even knows where she is. The angel's like, where's your wife? Does she work here also? She's a little more reserved. Right? When Avram's ready to start giving out food, Sarah's, right, Rashi says, Kemach, Solas. We have to give, you know, women are a little more stingy about giving out, giving away the good food. Right? Okay, so Chazal saw in Sarah a certain midah of gevura, a certain ability to hold back. Avram's giving, so she's holding back. What do we see in the next generation? Yitzchak is what? Yitzchak is Gvura. So what's Rivka? Chesed like crazy. Oh, you need water? Your camels need water? Your people need water? See, that's the test of Eliezer. Is she chesed to the max? So now, when you have a parent who's Gvura, like a Yitzchak, and you have a parent who's a chesed, like Rivka, and you put them together, and you create a beautiful, harmonious balance of the two, then what do you have? Then you have a Yaakov. Then you have Yaakov. So that's what Avram's thinking. Avram says, I'm chesed, Yitzchak's gvura. So that you know, Avram and Yitzchak combined to make a Yaakov, but also Yaakov's parents combined to make Yaakov. A Rivka and a Yitzchak combined to make that emes of Yaakov. Now, look at this. In Isa b'Gemara, the Gemara says in Psachim, Gimel Devarim Tziva Kanan as Banav. Kanan commanded his children in three things. The Gemara actually says five things, but let's talk about three, or let's talk about one. Ve'echad mehem al tedabru emes. Interesting. Canaan told his children, Canaan was cursed to be a slave. And as a slave, one of the advice he gave them is that as a slave, don't tell the truth. Whatever that means, whatever the context of that Gemara really is, right? Why a slave shouldn't tell the truth, because a slave will get himself in trouble. You should just, you know, smile and do your job as a slave. Don't answer questions too honestly. Just say what your master wants to hear. But Canaan, the Canaanim were known for not being people of MS. Ah, so now we understand why Avram says, I can't find the shidduch for Yitzchak locally. The whole point of this shidduch is to bring what into the world? To bring a Yaakov, which is MS, into the world. Nimtza she Canaan ma'as b'midas ha'emes. Canaan rejected the mid of emes. V'lo chafetz ba. Ki al kain siva as banav she'archiku as midas ha'emes rak ledaber atzam b'sheker. Ledabek atzam b'sheker. They attach themselves to a world of sheker. So therefore Avram says, I can't. Eliezer, promise me you're not going to take a girl from Canaan. Then we're never going to get to a Yaakov Avinu. V'lakach ma'as Avram b'bnos Canaan. So Avram says, I don't like these girls of Canaan. Ki ha'yitzarach lasos ishtadlos l'hamshach midas emes li'olam. Alright, Avram says, I gotta bring out the emes of the world. That's what's gonna happen when we get to the child of Yitzchak. So now, look what Eliezer says. Gaval, no? David Tzvi, Gavaldik. V'zesha ramaz lahem Eliezer. What does Eliezer say? Im yeshchem osim chesed ve'emes im Adoni. If you understand who my master is, my Avraham, my Rebbe, is an Ish Chesed. And his whole mission, the reason he sent me here is to what? Is to find the perfect spouse for Yitzchak who's going to be able to what? To bring Emes to the world. So if you get that, if you understand that, if you're willing to go along with that, right, then Hagiduli, Ratzalomar. Tagiduli im chafeitzim atem b'midas ha'emes. Are you willing to accept this midah of Emes? Not like the Canaanim, Shemoizbo. Like not like Canaan, who taught his children dafka not to pursue truth. That through this mid of MS, right, the chesed could continue to flow. Right, so if so, tagiduli. So then I can attach you to Avram. We can build a Klal Yisrael. That's Avram's greatest desire. And that's what it means. V'zeh chesed v'emes. V'im lo, tachbetsu v'zeh. But if you're not interested in this, so then Efna, so then I'm going to have to go somewhere else. But he concludes the piece, and he doesn't really give us the punchline. Because friends, what was the end of the pasuk? If you're going to say no, what does he say to them? If you say no, ve'efna al yamino al small, go to the right or I'll go to the left. What's he really saying based on what we just learned? We're trying to get balance here, right? If you say no, just realize you're going to mess everything up. We're trying to end up in the middle. Avram's on the right, Yitzchak's on the left, Yaakov is that wholesome blend called Teferes or Emes. Right? So I hope you'll accept this shidduch, because if not, we're going to be extreme one way or another. We're going to go too far to the right or too far to the left. If you accept this shidduch, so then we'll be zocha to bring the Emes of Klal Yisrael into the world. What a sweet Torah, no? So deep. Yeah. So Rachel and Leah, interesting, because Yaakov is, right, a blend of Chesed and Gevura, right, so he has to have two wives, right? One who's going to be more the Chesed personality, one who's going to be more the Gevura personality. Now I leave it to you to think about who's who, Rachel and Leah. And then what's the role of Bilhah and Zilpah? You think Rachel's more Chesed, and Leah's more Din. So the truth is, it's a bit of both. But that's, again, that's part of the mixing. Yeah, like Sheva Brachas, you know, you're mixing the cups. Trying to get a little of everything mixed together. So that's what's happening here. We're trying to get a blend. All right, on the one hand, Leah is more outward, because Vateitze Leah, she's the one who goes out. Vateitze Dina Bas Leah, Dina's the one who goes out like her mother goes out. Right? On the one hand, Leah is Alma de Ischasya, the world of concealment, because she's buried in Maris Machpelah, as opposed to Rachel, who's buried mamish at the crossroads, out in the open. Right? Rachel's, you know, above ground. Leah's below ground. Right? So on the one hand, Leah is external but internal. On the other hand, Rachel is external but internal. Each one has a little bit of both. But that's part of, again, that's part of the fine tuning and the balancing of these midos of Chesed and Gvur and Emes. Yeah.
So just still on the blending topic, how do you account for like Esau? Where, like, did he get none of it, or did he get part of it? Like, it's not split 50-50. 50-50, it's more like 60-40 in one and like 40-60 in the
other. Right. So they were really supposed to, again, you're hitting on a big sugya, and we should probably stop and get to Gemara, but no, but you're hitting on a big thing. They were really supposed to be four avos. Avram was supposed to have a Yaakov, in terms of hashkafa, right? And Yitzchak was supposed to have an Esav. I mean, Yitzchak had the gevura. Esav had the gevura of Yitzchak, but he had it in the wrong way. Yitzchak's gevura, real gevura, is self-control. Right? Real gevura is deep inner connection. Esav took the gevura and he turned it into the total perversion of gevura, which is what? Which is being a hunter, being a murderer, being a, you know, a thug, like Chazal described him. So he took that strength and turned it outwards instead of turning it inwards. In the end, of course, who becomes sort of the fourth wheel of the avos in that regard? Could say Yosef. It's interesting you said Yosef. If you say, Pasuk and Tehillim says, Uvenei Yaakov vi Yosef Sela. Yosef has quasi-Av status. Right? That's why Yosef's name in Mitzrayim is what? Tzofnas Paneach. What else? What else? What else is he called? What else is he called? He's called Avrech. Because he's Av and he's Rach. Right? He's young, but he's also from the world of the Avos. Right? That's why Yosef dies twice in the Torah. We learn about Yosef's death at the end of Chumash Bereishis, then we learn about it again at the beginning of Shemos. The book of Bereishis is the book of the Avos, the book of Shemos is the book of the Shvatim. So Yosef is a bridge between the Avos and the Shvatim. That's why Yosef corresponds to the neck. The head is the Avos, the body is the Shvatim. Yosef is the neck. That's why the stone of Yosef from the Choshen is also worn where? The Avnei Shoam, which is Yosef's stone, is also worn on the shoulders, opposite the neck. Because Yosef is the bridge between the world of the Avos and the world of the Shvatim. So you could say Yosef, you could also say David. Right? David HaMelech also. David's also red, he's red like Esau. He's a warrior, but he's also incredibly humble. He's internal, he's tefillah, ba'ani tefillah. David in many ways is a tikkun for Esav. A lot to think about there also. But yeah, you're hitting on a big thing. There could have been four Avos and four Imaos. Right? But when things got crazy, so Yaakov had to kind of take over, and Rachel and Leah both marry Yaakov, and you know, lots to work out. A lot of things to work out. Yeah. Yishmael is a perversion of Chesed of Avram. Right? Chesed, the Torah calls Arayos Chesed. Right? Chumash Vayikra. So Yishmael is the world of raw physicality. Am hadoma lechamor. Chumrius, physicality. Stay here with the donkey, because you're donkey-like. Chumrius, physicality. So that's a perversion of Chesed. Right? Wrong. Yishmael is wrongful Chesed, and Esav is wrongful Gvura. And Yaakov becomes sort of the tikkun of both of them. Yeah.
So maybe that answers that question of what Rachel and Leah were. Saying because Leah was meant to marry Esav, so inherently more Chesed.
Right, she's supposed to balance out
what Esav was meant to be.
Right, and Rachel is supposed to be more, right? Right, because you have to have more, right, even in the balance, the right hand stays stronger than the left, right? Chesed has to still dominate Gvura. The right hand is stronger than the left hand. Even though we need to be a blend of Chesed and Gvura, the Chesed has to be dominant, right? We need Midas Adin in the world to stabilize the world. But you want a Olam Chesed Ibana, you want a world that's built primarily on Chesed. Yeah. All right, you guys are thinking about a lot of good things. Okay, you know what else we need to think about? Gets in Daf Dalet, that's right. Okay, so let's stop here. I have a Maya Makomas sheet for everyone today. It's really just a guided Tosfos sheet. I try to get to two Tosfos in on